Holy Bible records many of God's commandments, and it gives us both commandments and illustrations of good virtues and bad vices. And today we're going to look at one of the biggest sins that the Bible condemns. Amongst the hundreds that are mentioned, this rises very close to the top, but many people will oppose it, but they don't see that they themselves are guilty of it. Almost everybody hates this sin, but almost nobody will own up to it and say, well, that's me. Because it hides underneath our pride and our self-worth. The sin we're looking at today is hypocrisy. If you have a copy of the Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. For some months, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke chapter by chapter, and we've come to chapter 12 now. And the crowds are getting bigger and boisterous, and on this occasion, they became just out of control. In the meantime, it says, verse 1, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Crowds are getting large, out of hand. And it's like now they're stampeding. Everybody wants to get close to Jesus, and they're pushing, shoving, hollering, and even stepping on people and pushing them out of the way. And if someone stumbles, they just step on them and keep going. It's like a bunch of animals stampeding. And I've seen cattle stampede, and I get out of the way. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? A few years ago, there was a huge crowd trying to get into a auditorium to hear a certain rock group, but the doors were closed, and the crowds just kept pushing, and word went out, a door over there has opened up, and everybody started moving over there, pushing, shoving. But the doors were not opened, and everybody was trampling, and girls were falling on the ground screaming, and 11 people died. Well, that's the situation here. People on the ground, old people, women, children, men, and people all wanted to get close to Jesus. It was like mass hysteria, high emotions. And in the midst of that, Jesus turned to just a handful of his disciples. Now imagine, everybody's screaming, and Jesus just gathers a few of them together and says something that's almost surprising or out of keeping. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They may have wondered, well, why do you say that here and now? But Jesus said, beware, look out. That's a warning of danger. Like in Spanish, mucho cuidado, or in German, Achtung, beware, danger. It's like when you see skull and crossbones on a bottle of poison or a sign with an electrical bolt, danger, electricity, high voltage. You don't touch it. You stay away from that. Jesus is warning them out of love. Evidently, he sees some danger that they don't. For example, in the last chapter, we saw how the Pharisees are now mounting an assault on Jesus, and Jesus now is warning them, look out for those religious leaders. They're hypocrites. They're dangerous. Stay away from them. It's like when parents warn their children of danger, and I hope you parents do, from the little toddlers all the way up to young adults, warn them about certain things that they may not think is dangerous. You warn little children about fire and electricity, and then when they grow up older, you parents warn your children about drugs. Their friends might say, oh, there's no harm in this. Come on, take a pill. Inject a needle. Sniff this drug, and they'll think it's cool. You need to say, that's dangerous. Beware of that. But parents warn them also of something far more dangerous than drugs. Warn them about sin. Warn them about hypocrisy as well. And the best way to do that is with a godly example. Parents, don't be a hypocrite to your children. Years ago, a father of like five children was talking to the preacher and said, My son is becoming very rebellious as a teenager, rebelling against me. We used to go on campouts and do wonderful things. Now he's turning on me. How do you explain this? And he said, "Preacher, what is it that teenagers in particular rebel against most in their parents?" And the preacher thought and said, "Hypocrisy. When you say one thing and do another." So often a teenager will be doing some marijuana and the father says, "I warned you about that. Why are you doing it?" And that daughter will say, "Daddy, you come home from work and you always have two or three drinks. And I've seen you come home from a party and mama has to drive the car because you're too drunk. And you're going to tell me it's wrong to smoke marijuana? Hypocrisy. You hypocrite." So parents, don't be a hypocrite. Warn them and you give them the good godly example. Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." He said hypocrisy is like leaven. Leaven is that yeast that you put into dough, and then when you cook it, it spreads and it rises and produces a loaf of bread. What he's saying is hypocrisy has a tendency of spreading. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Hypocrisy spreads, so Jesus is warning them about that. And he says, this belongs to the Pharisees. Now, in our last lesson, we did a survey of the Pharisees. These were the religious leaders. Now, this would also include the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the arch-conservatives. The Sadducees were the liberals. But they were all religious hypocrites. Earlier, we read Matthew 23. And did you notice in that chapter, Jesus, as it were, unloads both barrels against those religious hypocrites. Seven times in that chapter, he says to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And I'm sure he thundered at them, "Hypocrites." And that's why the word Pharisee has come to mean a religious hypocrite. Now, the word literally means a pure and separated one, one that was supposed to be holy. Holy? Ha! Jesus saw through that. He saw through their pretense. He saw them for the hypocrites that they were. He knew better. And so he pulls the mask off and he is showing his disciples what's behind the mask. Verse 2. "There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." The Pharisees covered up their inner sin with this outward piety. Gold chains and special robes like some preachers do today. They cover it up. And outwardly they look good. But Jesus saw the heart. Remember the Bible says that God sees the heart. And God saw the heart of these people. God sees the heart of all hypocrites. And Jesus says, yes, but one day this covering will be ripped off. One day the mask will be removed. And they will be exposed for what they really are. So he told his followers, don't be taken in by this charade. They look good on the outside, but it's all on the outside. And one day God's going to remove the mask. In fact, one day, brethren, God's going to remove all masks of hypocrisy on Judgment Day. And if we're wearing a mask, our mask will be ripped off. And the people that we might think are so holy, so pious, will be shown for what they are. Verse 3 says, "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light." In other words, it will also come out. What you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Even the secret words will be repeated out loud on Judgment Day. Everything will be revealed. All masks will be taken off, and all people, men, women, boys, and girls, will appear before God. And if they have lived a life of hypocrisy, they will be shown for what they are. Even the secret words that were said in secret, maybe a dirty joke down at the office when it's just you and your workmate, or someone, or sometimes when you're just by yourself watching television or listening to something on the radio, nobody else listening, or something you said, or something you just thought when nobody else was there. God was there. He heard it. He's recorded it. And it's going to be played back at Judgment Day. That's what Jesus is warning about. Not just about those Pharisees. He's warning his disciples, don't be like that. On Judgment Day, there'll not only be condemnation, but there's going to be mass embarrassment. The secret sins, the words the people did that They thought that nobody saw, but God saw it. Now it's played back, as it were. Imagine. Words that they said are now going to be recorded and played back for everybody to hear. How does that strike you? What about words and thoughts you've said and uttered and thought? You don't want certain things to be broadcast around. My mind goes back years ago. I was doing some evangelism with some people in the open air at a certain city square, and a little handful became 50 or 75 people, and they were all asking questions, so I kind of stood up on a little box and addressed it and preached and answered questions. And then a week later, someone came back to me and says, "Oh, I heard you preach on the radio the other day." I said, "I wasn't on the radio." They said, "You sure were." And I said, "What do you mean?" Somebody was in that crowd from the local radio station, turned on a tape recorder and recorded you and played you on the radio for the whole city of 500,000 people to hear you. I said, "I didn't know about that. How did I do?" They said, "Well, you did okay, but what if someone secretly recorded you on a cell phone when you lost your temper and said something you later regretted? You'd be embarrassed by that." Jesus is saying that all of our cover-ups will be exposed on Judgment Day. Romans 2:16 says God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. In other words, our thoughts and our secret words. So Jesus says this in order to explain why hypocrisy is not only evil, but it will lead to condemnation. Now, for the remainder of this message, I want to concentrate on that one word, hypocrisy, and to show you from God's word why it is sinful and why is it abominable and why we should not only beware of it, but may we not be guilty of hypocrisy as well. The Greek word that Jesus used is hypokrites. And the word was very common over in Greece at that time, because this is the word that the Greeks would use to describe actors. He says the hypocrites are the men that would go out on stage. They wear different costumes. Men would sometimes pretend to be a king or even a woman, because it was only men, actors, not women. But you've seen pictures where they'd hold up a little mask on a stick in front of their face. And it might be a sad frown, or might be a happy one, or with tears. But of course, it was all play acting. The guy was just holding up a little mask in front of his face. And so the word hypocrites came to refer to an actor who was only playing. He really wasn't the character. Now, that's okay for plays and entertainment, but not for real life. The word came to mean, therefore, someone that in real life that is only playing at something that he really isn't. He's saying one thing, but he's different. There's a contradiction. It's hypocrisy. And there are various synonyms for hypocrisy. Fakery, two-facedness, pretentiousness. Here's an old word, mendacity. It's an old word you don't hear very much unless you read Southern classics like Erskine Caldwell or Tennessee Williams or William Faulkner. It's an old Southern word, usually said with much force. Mendacity, hypocrisy. In other words, it's verbal dissimulation where you say something but you're twisting it around to mean something else, usually to destroy someone's reputation or to pretend to be something other than what you were. In other words, it's just outright lying. Mendacity, hypocrisy. A hypocrite is a phony, a pretender, a deceiver, a cheat, or we'd just say a bald-faced liar. He's pretending to be something that he's not. Oh, his words say something, but he doesn't back it up in his life or in his heart. You ever heard the old phrase, talk is cheap, but walk is expensive. Hypocrites say, oh, they speak it. Flowery words of pride, but they don't live it and they don't have it. They're hypocrites. A hypocrite is one that condemns in others what he himself is flagrantly guilty of. And he doesn't see the contradiction. Romans 2:1 says this about the Jews in Paul's day. He said, you're condemning those Gentiles for the very same things you're doing. Hypocrite. And that person considers himself above criticism. He doesn't see that he is guilty of the very same things he is condemning in other people. And he is doing, and he doesn't repent of it. Have you ever noticed some people are hypercritical? And a hypercritical person is usually hypocritical about it. A few hundred years ago, someone, I'm not sure, it could have been Nathaniel Hawthorne, spoke about a certain Mrs. Grundy. And that has come to be a byword for a religious hypocrite that is above criticism. Mrs. Grundy is the self-appointed corrector of everybody else who go up and down the street and say, don't do this, don't do that. But she is above criticism, she thinks. And the world makes fun of this. You've seen people like this on TV. And the world makes fun of the Mrs. Grundy that is the church woman that's always condemning everybody else. But everybody sees she's a hypocrite. She's doing some of those same things. She goes around correcting everybody. Naughty, naughty, don't drink liquor, don't drink liquor. And she goes home and drinks this cheap cough syrup that's 90% whiskey. She's doing the same thing and she doesn't see it. That's hypocrisy, condemning in others what you yourself are guilty of. Then there's political hypocrisy, and after a while it becomes a joke. People on the right and on the left are condemning the other party for what they themselves are doing. Keep that in mind when you watch the TV. After a while you want to laugh. Here's an example just recently during the presidential election. I hasten to add I'm not giving political editorials, but I've already read certain Republicans are saying, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. If she's elected, she will be the same age as the oldest elected president in America. She'll be too old. But those are the same people that 30 years ago were saying, Ronald Reagan, he's got a lifetime of experience. But then you find the Democrats, they condemned Reagan for being an old man. Now they're defending Hillary at the same age. You see, it goes both ways. There's political hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle. And I could give over and over other examples of hypocrisy in culture, in the media, and in education. Take medicine. Many doctors have taken the age-old Hippocratic Oath. Have you ever read that? Where they swear before God, first do no harm, protect life, and it explicitly forbids abortion. There have been thousands of doctors that took that oath, and they went on and performed abortions. For them, it's the hypocritical oath. How about this one? I've heard with my own ears ultra-liberals that actually oppose sending missionaries to other countries. And they have pressured the State Department not to give them credentials and visas. They say, oh, you send missionaries to certain third world countries and you change their religion, you upset their whole society. And they say, that's cultural genocide. And I look at that and say, you hypocrite. That's exactly what you've been doing in the United States of America. For most of our history, we were overwhelmingly Christian, and you come in with this missionary zeal to de-Christianize America, and you're going to say that's cultural genocide? You're hypocrites. It goes on and on and on. I remember hearing one political cynic say, well, it all depends upon whose ox is gored. That's an indirect reference to a law back in the Old Testament. In other words, if our man or woman does it, it's okay, but if yours does it, that's wrong. It's all that matters upon whose side you're on. Another political wag said, well, it's like another one of these irregular verbs. I am stalwart, you are stubborn, he is pig-headed, over the same thing. That's hypocrisy. And virtually everybody hates it in others. You know, I don't think I've ever met anybody that defends hypocrisy. Usually people see it and they hate it and they say, that's a hypocrite. But they don't see it in themselves. Look in the mirror. Mahatma Gandhi, who by no means was a Christian, said, there is nothing worse than being something on the outside that you are not on the inside. So people despise hypocrisy, usually with considerable emotional vehemence. They hate hypocrisy. You've seen them. They say, that's hypocrites, whether political or religious or whatever kind. They despise it, and rightly so. But there's never been a person in human history that despises it as much as God does. As I said, it masquerades behind pride. But God sees behind it. God saw in the hearts and lives of those Pharisees. And he sees every hypocrite today. And he hates it. It's not a small sin. It rises to the top of God's list. Here's just a few verses that I culled from the Bible that expresses God's opinion. Job 8:13, the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Job 25, the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Job 27:8, what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he gains much, if God takes away his life? Job 36:13, the hypocrite in heart stores up wrath. Romans 2 alludes to that. They're storing up wrath with this guilty sin that they don't see is wrong. 1 Timothy 4:2 condemns those who, quote, speak lies in hypocrisy. And there are many other verses, and I guess Isaiah 9:17 sums it all up, where God thunders and says, everyone is a hypocrite. Not just the Pharisees. There's hypocrisy in all of us, even in the best of us, friends. And there's only one exception to that. Jesus Christ. He is the only person in human history that was never a hypocrite. He was an honest man. He always said things and backed it up with a life and a heart of pure honesties. Jesus hated hypocrisy. That's why we read through Matthew 23 a little while ago. He despised it, and I'm sure he was emotional in his condemnation of it. Woe to you, Pharisees! Hypocrites! He despised it, and he still does. Jesus was very patient with the common man, the so-called sinners, the prostitutes, the drunks, the tax collectors. And there's a wonderful verse that says the common people heard him gladly. Even though he exposed their sin, he did it in such a tender way that they came to him. But when he came toe-to-toe with the religious hypocrites, he blasted them because he said, you are worse than they are, and you pride yourself as being better than they are. Hypocrites. Matthew 6, he warned about them right before he gave the Lord's Prayer. He said, the hypocrites, they pray and they fast in order to show off. Matthew 23:5, he says, they do all their works to be seen by others. They go strutting down the street like a peacock. Look how holy are I, how holy I am. Or as they say in the book of Isaiah, don't touch me, don't come near to me. I am holier than thou. Holy nothing. That's why he warned in Matthew 6:5, do not be like the hypocrites. Matthew 23, he says, they say and do not. They don't practice what they preach. They say flowery words that pretend to be profound. They may even be true, but they don't back it up in their lives. They're hypocrites. Matthew 23:28, Jesus said to them, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23:14, therefore Jesus thundered and gave them this warning. He said, therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. Greater than what? He's saying, you are worse off than the people you are condemning because you are doing something they are not guilty of. Those religious, those harlots, those tax collectors, those drunks, they were not religious hypocrites. And what he is saying, you are worse than they are. That's how serious hypocrisy is. You look through the Gospels, you find example after example of the religious hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Here's two of them. It's hard to say which one is the most flagrant. You remember when Judas betrayed Jesus? He was looking for an opportunity because Jesus was never a true believer. He was just another hypocrite. But he went to the Pharisees. He went to the high priest. He went to the Sanhedrin and said, what will you give me if I betray Jesus and hand him over to you? And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. Here we are, one by one, take it and get out of here. And he betrayed them. And then later, after Jesus was arrested, follow me, he felt guilty, and he went to return the money to those same Pharisees. And look what they did. They said, we can't take this money. That's tainted money. That's blood money. What filthy hypocrites! They're the very people that gave the money to Judas. What hypocrisy! How about this other example? On the very next day, they had sold out Jesus, and now he's being hauled before Pontius Pilate, the Gentile. And so Pilate says, come in here and state your charges. And they said, no, you're a Gentile. Our law says that we cannot enter a house of a Gentile. What hypocrites! They were in the very act of having Jesus murdered. This would be like a lynch mob dragging a guy off to City Hall to hang him from the flagpole. And as they're about to cross the street, they said, stop. The sign says, don't walk. And we always obey the law. In the act of lynching an innocent person. What hypocrisy! And that's why Jesus thundered against them. And that's why the word Pharisee has come to mean a self-righteous, religious hypocrite. You see, it's bad enough in the political arena, and it's bad enough when we see it on TV. Frankly, that's one good reason why to throw away your television. It's just hypocrisy over and over and over again. It's bad enough there, but it's worse when it's in religion and in the churches. Political hypocrisy is bad, friends, but religious hypocrisy is far worse. Indeed, a religious hypocrite is worse than a flagrant unbeliever. At least that atheist is not a religious hypocrite. At least that member of a gang that deals drugs or that terrorist. They're not a religious hypocrite unless they're hypocrites to Islam, the religion of peace. There's another example of religious hypocrisy. They're saying that we're doing this to please Allah, and Islam means peace. And they're promoting terrorism. Something's wrong with that picture. You could put underneath that picture religious hypocrisy. So it's not just Christian religious hypocrisy, but Islamic and Hindu and all the rest of it. Someone said there are believers, there are unbelievers, and there are make-believers. Now let's get closer to home. We're not just talking about them out there, but we're talking about even within Christianity and in churches that say they're evangelical. They'll swear on a stack of King James Bibles, oh yes, we are fundamentalists, we're evangelical, we're Calvinists. And you probe and you look and you find out they're just ridden with hypocrisy. Friends, we're living in a nation of religious hypocrites. I've witnessed to many people that say, I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be one. You can take your religion and keep it to yourself. I'm never going back to church. I was raised in a church. And I have heard young men, young women, old men, old women, thunder with cursing. And they'll say, the church is filled with religious hypocrites. You couldn't drag me in there. You couldn't pay me enough money to go and sit with them. They're all religious hypocrites. And you know what I've said to many of them? I say, I agree with you. And they say, what? I say, you're absolutely right. Something like 70 to 80% of Americans claim to be Christians. I wouldn't say it's any more than 2% when you do an examination of the life of the Bible. What does that tell us? America's filled with religious hypocrites. And so are the churches. So before we can condemn the world, let's look closer at home here. You know that I have a ministry to prison inmates, and I don't know how many dozens of them say, Pastor Daniel, I go to the little chapel here, and I see these guys sing the song, and they play the guitars, and they clap their hands, and the rest of the week they're doing abominable things that I can't even write down in a letter. Terrible things. How can they do these things? And I have to write back and say, well, they're hypocrites. But I say, by the way, it's not just in prison chapels. It's out here in the churches as well. People playing church, saying they're Christians. Now, sometimes we laugh at some of them and say, well, they're CEOs, Christmas and Easter only Christians. That's the only time they come to church. Yeah, but what about those that come to church every week? And that they're Sunday only Christians. And they go back to the work or to school or their neighborhood, their families, and they're no different than anybody else. So you think you're a Christian because one day a week you sing hymns? And you're holy then? What about the rest of the week? Am I meddling now? People playing church. They look good on Sunday. They look good on the outwardly. But inwardly is what really matters. People, our country is filled with phony Christians, pseudo-Christians, hypocrites. Oh, they say the right things. I've repeated the four spiritual laws. I can recite the Apostles' Creed. Outwardly pious, but inwardly no different than the Pharisees. Inwardly no different than anybody else. That's hypocrisy. And so they said, well, I've been baptized. So what? I joined a church. I accepted Jesus. I went forward or whatever. But they didn't get the real thing. It's all on the outward. And usually that begins to wear pretty thin after a while. But other ones keep up the pretense for years, for decades. They profess Christ, but they don't possess him. They're professors, but not possessors. And people despise it, but they don't see it in themselves. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I was talking to a young man because the parents had said, could you talk to this young man? He is like 22, 23. And they said, he's breaking our heart. We go to church, we're Christians, but he is turning against everything we stand for. Could you talk to him? I said, yeah. So I asked, look, I'll treat you like a man, not a boy. Let's go and have a steak dinner and we'll talk man to man. He said, okay. So I was talking to him and I said, well, you're a Christian. I mean a real Christian. He says, yeah, when I was 13, I accepted Jesus into my heart at a Christian camp somewhere. I said, well, Can you back it up in your life? He says, what do you mean? I said, well, I hear you've been getting in trouble with the law. You've been drinking. You've been fooling around with immorality. You've been doing drugs regularly. I said, don't you see a problem with this? You say that you're a Christian. You're living like this. He says, well, you know, I'm just kind of backslidden or cold. And I said, so I decided to do something different. So I said, let's call him John. I said, John, do you ever go to church? He says, not anymore. I said, why not? He said, well, they're all hypocrites. He says, I can name men that I've seen at work do certain bad deals, and they break the law, and they lie, and I say, those are hypocrites. I'm not going back to church, that church or any other. They're all hypocrites. And I said, John, how do you think they got like that? He said, come again. I said, they didn't get like that overnight. They started off younger in life. They sold their wild oats as a young person, and they got religious. And then they gradually started living this sinful lifestyle, still claiming to be Christians. And I looked over the table and I said, John, they were once just like you are now. And if you don't change, you're going to be like them, the very people you despise as hypocrites. I said, John, you're already a hypocrite. Don't you see it? And he had never seen it in his own life. Religious hypocrites. People pretending to be Christians, but they are not. And God knows otherwise. And sometimes other people can see it in their very lifestyle. But people don't see it. Some people know it and they continue to live out a lie because that's all they have. And other people don't know it. And some people eventually wake up to it and they get scared. They don't know what to do. Some of them become Christians and other ones throw off all pretense of Christianity. Some of you are familiar with the well-known preacher Paul Washer. We've had him preacher. We've read his books. You need to hear his wife's testimony. I think I'm going to copy it so everybody here can hear it on CD. She won't mind me sharing. She was raised in a very godly family over in Spain. Charo Washer. Very godly parents. I think her father may have been a preacher. She was taught right and wrong, and she went along with all this. And then as she became an adult, she was still saying, yes, look, I'm not like them. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I sing, I do all these good things. But she had never seen, she had never been converted. She'd never been born again until it hit her in an evangelistic meeting. And I'll let you listen to her story herself. She said she looked out and saw some streetwalkers out there and it hit her in the face. She said, I am no different than them on the inside. She began to weep uncontrollably and says, all my life I have been a religious, pharisaical hypocrite. I need to be saved. I've been pretending all these years. And she did get saved. You know, I've heard all sorts of testimonies. And so have you, people that say they got saved out of drugs and all sorts of crime and stuff like that. You rarely hear anybody testify saying, I got saved out of religious hypocrisy. And living a nice life that was all show. They need to be converted to pray for your unsaved religious hypocrite friends. And it gets worse. It's not only religious hypocrites everywhere. Jesus is warning about the leaders and promoters of this, the Pharisees. In other words, they're hypocritical preachers that will stand in a pulpit. And they've never been saved. Even though they may be preaching a true gospel, they've never been saved. It's not just the televangelists on television. Some of them, it's so obvious that these are charlatans. They're false prophets in it for the financial profit. But so many churches are filled with false prophets that are simply Pharisees, religious hypocrites. Pious on the outside, unconverted on the inside. Matthew 7, Jesus called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing is covering up what's on the inside, masks. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul thundered against some and said, they are masquerading. They're like the Greek actors with a mask. You find them on this side of the pulpit and you see them out there in the church and you see them everywhere in the world. We're in a world, a circus of religious hypocrisy. But these are ones that are professional religious hypocrites and some of them very good at that. And 2 Corinthians 11 says they're just like that because they're imitating their father, the devil. Paul says, Satan masquerades. He uses the very word masquerades. That's, in other words, Satan puts on a mask pretending to be an angel of light. He's the worst hypocrite of all. He pretends to be a good angel and he's not. And he says, if Satan's like that, is it any wonder that his emissaries, his pastors, his preachers are imitating him? They're masquerading. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. But in this world, this nation filled with religious hypocrites, not all churchgoers, not everybody that says he's a Christian, is a hypocrite. Thank God there are still some that are true believers. And when I've talked to those that say the church is filled with hypocrites, I say, yeah, most of them are. But then I say to them, but not everybody in the church is a hypocrite. And I say, I'm not. And I'll say to some of them, I bet some of you have met people that you would say are not a hypocrite. And I've had people say, you know, you're right. I had an aunt once, and she was the real thing. She wasn't a hypocrite. Or a guy that I work with, yeah, he's not a hypocrite. And then at that point I say, and neither was Jesus Christ. He was not a hypocrite. If Satan is the worst hypocrite of all, Jesus was the real thing. And you know, I have also met unbelievers that hate religious hypocrisy, said, you mean Jesus opposed hypocrisy? I said, yeah, and I would tell them these instances in the gospel, and they say, well, how about that? And I said, Jesus didn't stand for it. He hates hypocrisy more than you do. He's the real thing. And I said, let me tell you a little bit more about him. Jesus was an honest man. And even a skeptic that hates hypocrisy should respect the Lord Jesus Christ, because he didn't stand for hypocrisy. Now let's get closer to home. We're not just talking about those outside the church or the religious hypocrites in the church that pretend to be Christians but are not. But brethren, even Christians can have some areas of their life that they're hypocritical about. There are many true Christians, but even we are not totally immune. You know, I'm looking at my notes here, and when I wrote the notes out, I first said, but even they are not totally immune, and I scratched it out and I put the word we. Me too. If you do a deep soul search within your own heart, you'll find someone walking around that's a Pharisee. There's a little bit of hypocrisy in all of us. We're born with this in us, and even the best Christians still have some areas of hypocrisy. There's a little bit of the Pharisee in every one of us. Here's some examples. When we come to church and we sing a hymn, but we don't mean it, our hearts are not in it. As your pastor, let me say very firmly, if you can't sing it and mean it, don't sing it. Otherwise, you will be a singing hypocrite. You think that that's pleasing God just simply because you sing the words if you don't mean it? Don't. You're insulting God. Get in the right mood. Confess your sin so that you can sing it and mean it. How about this? At the end of our service, week by week, we have Holy Communion. What goes through your heart in those moments? When we're thinking about the death of Jesus and your mind begins to wander to sports, work, whatever, or even sinful things run through your mind, you're relishing certain sins, even at communion. If that's what happens to you, don't take communion. That's adding insult to injury. And it would be hypocrisy to take it and not mean it. And I could go on and on and on. What sort of mood are we in when we come to the house of God? You know, we walk through the door and we meet the greeters out there. We come in here and afterwards you say, nice sermon, preacher. What's really going on through your heart during the service? Do you bring unconfessed sin in here? How about this? I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but it happens a lot. A family comes to church, but on the way, husband and wife are yelling at each other. And they say, oh, we've just pulled into the parking lot. So they put on the mask and they walk through the door and they haven't apologized to their spouse. Or they've been yelling at their kids. Or the kids have been rebelling against their parents. And yet they come into church with a little mask on as if nothing's wrong. God sees behind that. Let me give you some strong advice. Before you come into the church, examine your heart. If there's a problem with your spouse, your parents, your children, get it settled out there. You may have to sit in the car for the next hour apologizing and forgiving one another. But don't walk into the house of God wearing a mask of hypocrisy. God sees behind it. This is the day of the Lord. We're to come into God's presence without any hypocrisy. How about this? We worship on Sunday. Then we go back to work or school. How do the people that we rub shoulders with every day, what do they think of us? First off, do they even know we're Christians? Would they be able to guess that we're Christians? Would they see a noticeable change in our life? Or are we no different than anybody else? They tell a dirty joke and we may not laugh, but we'll grin. They'll bend the law. They'll break the laws of the company, and we go along with that. And then we bring a Bible or wear a little cross or something, and they say, "You mean you're a Christian?" Would the people you see every day be surprised to find out you're a Christian? Or would they not be surprised because they have noticed a difference in your life already? Or would they say, "You're a hypocrite"? There are people, I've had people say, "Pastor, I've ruined my testimony at work. I dare not witness because then they'll call me a hypocrite. They've seen me do certain things wrong." And I say, "Why don't you go to them and apologize and say, 'I'm not perfect, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Please forgive me.'" Now, if you notice the irony of hypocrisy, there are two types. There are unbelievers that act like believers, and there are believers that act like unbelievers. Both of them are hypocrites. Think about that. And we find examples of both of them. Judas, for 3 years, he pretended to be a believer, and he wasn't. And then you had Peter, who denied Jesus. He was a believer, but he acted like he wasn't. We're believers. Let's not pretend to be unbelievers at work or in any other place. Brethren, we often pretend to be more spiritual than we really are. Let's be honest about it. And to say, "I'm not nearly as spiritual as I pretend to be, even on my best days." Let's don't exaggerate our good deeds and our sanctification. If we're not humble and honest, then we're being hypocrites. We're guilty of hypocrisy when we're not consistent, even with ourselves. We say one thing and do another. Brethren, we all wear masks. What are we really like under the masks? Thomas Manton, the great Puritan, said, "What a man or woman is when he is alone with God on his knees in prayer, that is what he really is and nothing else." What are you really like behind the mask? We all have some kind of mask. What are you really like? You see, it's a matter of the heart, not just the outward words and lifestyle. Would other people here today be shocked if they saw the real you? But don't forget, God knows already. He sees behind the mask even before he takes it off at judgment day. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what we really are. May God grant that we are on the outside what we really are on the inside. How do we conclude this? I guess what I'm saying is, let's all stop being hypocrites. It's not enough to say they are hypocrites. We need to say, "I'm a hypocrite too in one way or another." If you're an unbeliever, I plead with you, don't pretend to be a believer. At least have the integrity to say, "I am not a Christian." That's usually the first step a person has to take. But if you are a true believer, examine yourself. Come to God and say, "Lord, examine me. Show me something in my heart and in my life that is inconsistent with your word and even with my profession of faith. Lord, grant that I would be pure inside as well as outside." Ask God to show you where you're hypocritical. And then ask God's forgiveness. And then ask for his help. God has a way of changing us from being Pharisees into being the real thing. It starts with conversion, but it doesn't end there. Conversion is when we're saved, we're justified. Then God begins to sanctify us, and he goes to work on that inner man where the problem of hypocrisy starts. So we say, "Lord, may your Holy Spirit in me sanctify me. May he make me holy." How? We're told in Romans 8, we have been elected and predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the only one that has never been a hypocrite. So we say, "Holy Spirit, transform me so that in my heart, my thoughts, my intentions, everything on the inside resembles the Lord Jesus Christ." And as he does it on the inside, we say, "Lord, do it on the outside as well." The Pharisees said, "Do it on the outside, that's good enough." Jesus said, "Wash the inside of the cup first, then the outside." May the Holy Spirit do this inwardly in us So that then it would be said of us, as Jesus said of a man in John 1, he said to this man, "Behold, a man in whom is no guile, no pretension, no hypocrisy." May the Lord grant that to be said of us here today. Shall we pray? We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and to show us where we are hypocrites in things that we do, say, think, if we pretend to be Christians but are not, or if we are Christians, we don't always act like that. Forgive us. Tear away our masks. Throw away our excuses. Crucify our pride. Destroy our lies. And if we are lost, save us. And if we are saved, sanctify us by your Spirit. Show us, Father, just how evil and despicable hypocrisy is in us. Forgive us, cleanse us, and grant that we would be like Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.